Chapter 5, Dead Meat. Horizontal rays of the rising sun were shining up 116th Street as the patrol car I was riding in slowed down to make its turn through the gates of College Walk. A few early morning joggers had their progress halted while the patrol car passed in front of them. They jogged in place, and every one of them gazed at me, although their faces remained impassive. No doubt they were speculating about what foul crime I had committed, police cars being second only to limousines in arousing curiosity about who was in the back seat. The officer swung in and drove up as far as the sundial to let me out. Not only was the sunlight strong, but it was reflecting brilliantly off all the east-facing windows of Fernald Hall, double illuminating the west half of South Field. The place wasn't called Morningside Heights for nothing. I felt very conspicuous stepping out of the patrol car. A campus guard was waiting to receive me. He was solicitous. During the handover, he presented me with the replacement room key I had sought last night, thereby completing the mission I had embarked on what already seemed like ages ago. On the fifth floor, students were up stirring, and foot traffic to the bathroom was heavy. The showers were all going full blast. As soon as I stepped onto my floor, whom should I see coming down the hall towards me but Rosalind Joslin? Instinctively, I froze. My reaction upon seeing her was that I didn't particularly want to. But I also felt a kind of relief and thanked my lucky stars that at least someone hadn't murdered her, too. I could imagine myself having to explain that to Detective Lippincott. What was clear was is that she didn't want to see me, either. Her impulse seemed to be to do an immediate about-face, but since we had already noticed each other, it was too late for that. She kept coming. I watched her spine stiffen as she prepared to ignore me completely. However, if that was her intention, it didn't work out that way. Although I had the police blanket draped over my shoulders, there were still welts and scratches to be seen. When she drew close enough to see the nasty bruise on the side of my head, it caused her to halt and raise one hand to her lips in horror. I was too exhausted to volunteer an explanation, and she was too timid to ask. So we both continued along our respective paths, me to my room and she to the showers. I figured that she hadn't heard the news yet, but when she did, and when she found out what I was suspected of, she would be thanking her lucky stars that I hadn't taken her up on her offer of a back message. On the other hand, I reflected somewhat ruefully. Had I accepted her offer, then none of this would have happened to me either. In my room, I doffed the blanket and my cutoffs. I wanted to take a shower, but didn't think my scratches would handle the spray nozzle, so I used the sink in my room and a washcloth to wash around the edges. Then I put on some real clothes. I was in the middle of brushing my teeth when someone came pounding on my door, informing me I was on TV in the lounge.